captive audience, it seems, because of the rain. I'll try and keep it short, and if we can't get through all of this material, it will be available on our website, which is HungarianCulturalGarden.org. Those of you who can't access it, ask your younger sons and daughters or your grandchildren, because what we plan to do is get all of the old information that's out there and make it available on the internet, so we don't have to go searching for it in 5 years when we really have made some more progress here on this garden. But right now, let me tell you about what I see here. When I visited this garden again a few years ago, it felt strangely familiar, and I wasn't sure why. I've traveled a lot in Hungary, and then it finally hit me. Here, this looks like I'm up on top of Buda Hill. I am looking down on the Danube. I am in the castle area of Buda, and I'm looking down, and the Balaton is where the boulevard is, and the stairs here are the stairs that you climb up to get up to Buda Hill. It's the same type of architecture. You have the same stonework, the bricks, the decorative elements in the wrought iron. This is a part of Hungary. You look over there to our left where the statuary lane was supposed to be and only has a couple right now, and you get the same sense of the classic, of a way of commemorating people who made Hungary great, who were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, who were part of the Hungarian nation. So that really struck me, and I wanted to share that with everyone, that we are really here in something that represents old Hungary, classic Hungary, the great land that we all remember and that we know of from the pictures. The best design concepts of that period are here in this garden. The landscape of the garden is very compact, opulent, and formal. We look down on the bottom, and what we see are round circular garden areas and brick walkways. When I stand up on the Buda Hill and look down toward the bridges over the Danube, like at the Lánchíd, the chain bridge, I see a big round garden in front of it. That reminds me of the garden down there and what it should look like. I think that's where a lot of this inspiration came from back in those days, none of which is really documented or written down in the record, in the old newspapers and magazines. The references in the old publications talk about Hungarian architects and landscape designers. Well, there's really no detailed information about that. The truth, it seems, and I hate to burst this bubble, is that it was designed by a committee. And as we know, sometimes committees do a better job than individuals in coming up with great ideas. The people of Hungary shared their views, I'm sure, with the folks who were here in Cleveland back in the 1930s. There was input. But really, there was no one individual or group of individuals from Hungary or from Cleveland, for that matter, that was recognized for the actual design of the garden or the landscape. So what the program from 1938 lists as the architect of the garden is Harold Atkinson, who was the well-known and respected landscape architect at this time for the City of Cleveland Parks Department. If anyone knows of other individuals, I'd be very curious to find that information. But the architect here was someone and some individuals who shared their ideas about what they thought was beautiful in Hungary. What makes this garden Hungarian? Truly, it's this gate. That is the real reason that this is a Hungarian garden. It is very much in the tradition of the Austro-Hungarian estates in the 18th and 19th century. The meaning behind the gateway: the gate is the heart of the garden. It was donated by what is known today as the William Penn, back then the Verhovoi, and the gate was constructed using donations from the American-Hungarian community. Its design elements are filled with roses and wreaths and recall a formal time in Hungary, a time of nationality, of self-worth, and of a language renaissance that took place in Central Europe. It's not a székhelykapu. It's not a gate that is from the Székely region of Transylvania. It has some elements of it, but this garden gate is open. It's not closed. It's metal, and it's not wood. It's inspired by Austria in the west, and it's not east or Transylvania, though some of that, I'm sure, is in there. The Székely Association would come later, and it's a good one because it's very important to us. The garden started after World War I, the Great War. Some of our older people may have some familiarity with that, though they must be quite old. But it was a hopeful time back when it was started because people were hoping for world peace. The first gardens were the Hebrew and the German gardens in 1926. Progress continued very slowly, but then stopped due to the Great Depression in 1929. Hungarians were at the height of their influence in Cleveland politics at that time. In the 1930s, they worked together with the Rockefellers and the city and with the United Hungarian Societies. There were 32 organizations listed back then who were involved in this to get the funds necessary to build these gardens. And what did they do? They turned to the U.S. government. The U.S. government paid for our garden, believe it or not. It wasn't just the Hungarians. And this is actually quite great to know because WPA funds, using people and resources from the city and from the Hungarian community, put together our garden. Back in 1933, whether you know it or not, 31% of the labor force of Cleveland was unemployed. The labor force was 500,000. A third of those people didn't have jobs. The WPA gave money to make things happen in the city. The gardens were one of those unique things that provided synergy to the city and got things going. And because Hungarians were so influential, we created a fantastic garden. And we were able to take that further than anyone else. Over the 70-year period since this place was dedicated, there's been an inflation rate of 4% per year. Now, if you calculate that out, and there's calculations for this, $1 in 1938 has the same buying power as $15.15 today. That's a lot of inflation. The Hungarian committee spent about $46,000 in 1937. They raised an additional $5,000 or so for the gateway. To put this in perspective, in 2008 dollars, this translates to a total of about $768,000, mostly of government money. The community portion in 2008 dollars is $79,000. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of investment. That was a lot of work that was provided for people in Cleveland, a large portion of whom were Hungarians. Who were the people behind this garden? Judges, politicians, professors, executives, and American Hungarians. Not Hungarian Americans, they knew themselves as American Hungarians then. There were 32 community organizations that were representing the Hungarian colony, as it was termed back then. Back in 1938, 15,000 people attended this ceremony, according to the Szabadság newspaper headlines from the day after the ceremony. Other reports exaggerate this figure. One Cleveland history book, bless them, says that there were 5,000 in a procession down the boulevard and 25,000 attended. Another source says 60,000 people were here. It's amazing, huh? I don't know exactly how many there were, but I tend to believe 15,000 is more like it. And I'm sure they filled the whole lower area as well as all the way around this big multi-acre property. The Garden of Culture and the Garden of Peace is what we have to term this. The land was dedicated with a relief plaque over there. It was actually a full relief and not just a flat plaque back in 1934. For the next 4 years, not much happened. The garden was built out with WPA workers, and the Hungarian community made it their own with the design and dedication of this gate, which they actually came together to dedicate in 1938. It was more for the gate than for the garden back then. And for us, it's the totality of what is represented here that's important. After the dedication, not much happened. Why? Well, some of us have some ideas, but the reality is in 1938, tensions were really rising in Europe. Hitler already occupied Austria in March of 38. By September of 38, just a couple of months after this park was dedicated in July, Hungary was in the middle of it all. They were drawn into the war. They were being attacked by the surrounding countries. They were losing land. They were trying to bring justice to Hungary. It was a problem. And in America, alarm rose against the nationalities. The Hungarians could not do much, and their influence quickly decreased. So let's jump forward. What happened? In 1941, a flagpole was raised. We've recreated it. It's back in its place now after years of being gone. After the war and after the 1940s, nothing much happens until we get to 1950, when the Hungarian community puts together a couple of statues, which are here in the statuary lane, one for Imre Modac in 1950, who's known for the Tragedy of Man, and the other for Endre Ody in 1954, the year I was born, who was known as the 20th century Petőfi. final activity occurred in here in 1956, and it honored an intellectual, not even someone who was of historical knowledge, but someone by the name of Professor Jozsef Reményi, a professor very well known in the Cleveland community, who was a writer, a poet, a lecturer, an interpreter of life and beauty, and probably the intellectual energy behind this garden and making it happen. The other plans were never realized. They never came to be. I'm almost done. Our garden went from exquisite garden gem into stagnation and utter neglect. It was a sparkling star for a brief few months in 1938. Just on that day of July 10th, we were at the pinnacle of being the key community in Cleveland. In the 1940s, everything was quickly forgotten due to the war because Hungary was on the wrong side. It was the enemy. In the 1950s, it was already run down and neglected. Even before I was born, my mother, seated here in the blue dress with the white embroidery, tells me that in the early 50s, she came here and the place was already overgrown. That's a long time ago. Then came the 1960s, riots and huge changes in society. Hungarians had better things to do than worry about the garden. From the 1970s through the 2000 year, the garden was a no man's land, mostly forgotten, avoided, and no longer of interest to the Hungarian community. Of course, the scouts came and cleaned things up a number of times. Some dedicated souls did a lot of work, but the future plans were never realized. The future plans were to build out the statuary lane. There were 11 pedestals in place for Plan Bus and others around this area. This never came to be. We wanted to honor Sándor Petőfi, who wrote some of Hungary's greatest national poetry. János Arany, arguably the greatest Hungarian lyricist and epic genius. Mór Jókai, a powerful, stunningly insightful romantic novelist. Farkas Bolyai, world-class mathematician. Ignác Semmelweis, a medical genius advancing the state of medical art. Mihály Munkácsy, the world-renowned landscape and portrait artist. And Béla Bartók, the consummate collector of Hungarian songs and the composer of various operatic, choral, and other types of pieces. This never happened. But then, this rededication came into the mind of a number of people. There was a rebirth and reawakening in the early 2000s. The actions of the Cultural Garden Federation really spurred a few individuals on to act and to try and make things come alive again. I myself was part of a small effort a few years ago to try and get things going, but it wasn't quite time until our current committee came together. Ernie Mihai, who was here somewhere, he's in the back under that colored umbrella. He is the heart and soul of what kept this garden going for a number of years. He spent most of his own time and a lot of his own funds on patching things up and getting us going as we came together. And now the committee members and the organizations, a dozen in all, based on what's listed in the program and many others who are interested, are actively recommitted to starting over at 70. Doesn't that sound like something many of you would like to do? We have the energy to persevere and to improve. We've got plans to realize the potential of the garden. We're planning ahead already for the 75th anniversary. We have a vital message here. It's very important for us to talk about peace and the value of culture in American society, especially in a world filled with the threat of terrorism and the possible military and political resurgence of Russia in the Cold War. The message of a garden of peace is truly, truly vital to us today. Thank you, and thank you for your support.
Thank you very much, Leo. The children will carry the wreath in remembrance of the many ancestors who came before us, who have devoted so much of their time and effort 70 years ago to creating this garden. As they lay the wreath at the pond, I would like you to
thank you very much for your effort. Yeah.